Well, history is important, and we can either learn from it, or of course we could repeat the same mistakes that previous generations have made. God has a lot of history in the Bible, and this is God's word, so we listen to it as God's word through the historical accounts, and as we watch how past generations have done things well, we can maybe mimic that or take encouragement from that, but also where they their sins are exposed, we can allow that to reflect upon ourselves, where we might have sins that we need to also deal with. Today we're going to be looking at two different kings of Judah, Uzziah and Jotham. Uzziah started well, and yet his pride derailed him. And Jotham maintained a good reign by seeking the Lord consistently. And although we'll be covering both kings, we're going to be spending more time on Uzziah, and we're going to have Ann come and read us a little bit about the record of his reign.
Okay, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and I pray for wisdom, understanding, and receptive hearts as we hear the message you have given to Pastor Tom to share with us today. Amen. Okay, I'm going to be reading 2 Chronicles 26, 16 to 21. But Uzziah became powerful. His pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord." Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry. And while he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous, and banned from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Anne, for reading those accounts about Uzziah and Azariah, and you got it right. There's a Proverbs 16:18. It says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." That is a well-known proverb because we experience it to be true, both in our own lives and the lives of those around us. Pride is the opposite, of course, of humility. Humility is what Jesus exemplifies. Philippians 2 talks about how Jesus, who was God himself, equal with the Father, humbled himself. Humbled himself to become a human. Humbled himself even further to die on a cross like a criminal. And because of his humility, it says God highly exalted him. So we have these two paradigms. One is Jesus, who exemplifies humility, and then we have people like Uzziah who show us the dangers of pride. My outline this morning is going to be pretty simple. It's going to be that pride comes before the fall, and then the holiness of God, and then third, we'll look at another option. So pride comes before the fall. Uzziah was a great king for Judah. He may have been the greatest king since King Solomon. He has the second longest reign of any of the kings of Judah. He reigned for 52 years, and these were good years for the nation. He sought the Lord early in his reign, and the Lord blessed him with success. Let's see what other... Oh, here is his kingdom expanding here. So he had victories on the battlefield as he defeated the Philistines, the Arabs, and the Midianites. He expanded into lost territory that had been chipped away through previous kings. He regained valuable trading routes between Egypt and Arabia, as well as reestablishing control over some valuable copper and iron deposits that had once been under control of King David and Solomon. King Uzziah further fortified and greatly improved his nation, adding towers and gates to strengthen not only Jerusalem, the capital city, but other outpost cities as well. He also employed new technology that allowed a machine to hurl large stones from the tower walls and the tower gates, as well as shoot arrows. And the king himself made sure that all the soldiers of his massive army were properly armored and they were well trained. So King Uzziah not only strengthened his army, though he also cultivated the land. The scriptures say that he loved the soil, and his fondness bore visible fruit throughout the nation. Under his leadership, vineyards flourished, cisterns were hewed, and secured dependable water supplies so that both crops and livestock benefited from his agricultural planning. Uzziah had become more powerful than any king since Solomon, and yet he wanted more. Power led him to pride, which resulted in his overstepping his limits. He wanted the role of priest as well. In this way, he wanted to be like the kings of other nations outside of Israel. Those kings were not only the political rulers, they were the connection between the gods and humanity. And so he wanted both political and religious authority, linking heaven and earth. God, in his wisdom, had divided those roles in Israel and Judah, so that the king had his limits and the priest had their sphere of influence. And yet Uzziah, in the pride of his heart, was wanted to overstep his bounds. While the king had power and influence he wanted, he was only one person who was to fulfill his role as king. And the king was supposed to be bound by God's law, and that he was supposed to copy and meditate on. That was an instruction that the kings were to follow. And if he had, he would have remembered that the king is not ultimate, that the king is like everyone else and has only limited access to the temple, where only the Levites could serve. How God had structured the government, it was divided between the king, the priest, and the prophet. They all had their sphere of influence and power, but they were supposed to stay in their own lanes. Friends, this reminds me of the body of Christ. Sometimes God blesses our success and gives us visible gifts, and they are good and to be used for the upbuilding of the church. But I also remind everyone, not one of us has all the gifts. God in his wisdom has given some people to be great teachers, and yet they may not have the gift of discernment. They need to rely on someone else. Someone may have the gift to speak in tongues, and yet they need to rely on someone else who has the gift of mercy. And someone else may have this gift and that gift, but not one person is ultimate. Not one of us has all the gifts. And that is to keep us humble and relying on each other. So let us take some lessons from Uzziah. Let us be warned from his pride that when God gives us success, when God allows our lives to be full of strength and vigor, and everyone speaks well of us, and everything seems to be going just perfect, let's remember it's all a gift from God. It is a gift from God, and don't let our heads get swelled with pride, because pride leads to the fall. When we get proud, we reach beyond our capability, and we greedily snatch the honors that belong only to the Lord or to others. And because of this, pride drives us to overstep those boundaries that God has given to us. For all of us, whether we're in a position of leadership at work, at home, at the church, let us not forget that the greatest among us, Jesus says, is to be a servant of all. That Jesus himself came not to be served, but to serve. And he is the ruler, he is the leader that all of us follow. So when God gives us success, let's remember, it's not for our pride, but for his glory. Well, let's look at my second point, which is the holiness of God. And look at Uzziah and say, well, what exactly did he do wrong? Where did he get out of line? Uzziah went to the temple, and he wanted to offer incense on the altar. That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? He was the king. He wants to worship God. And you might say, hey, other kings had brought sacrifices to the Lord. Remember Solomon, when he dedicated the temple? He brought all kinds of sacrifices. And yet Uzziah wanted to offer incense on the altar of incense. So this is a diagram of the temple. And outside the temple building, you see in the courtyard, is that great massive stone altar. That's where the other kings had brought their sacrifices. And this was in the courtyard where they were allowed to be. And yet, I don't know if you can see it up there, but inside the holy place, inside the structure itself, right in front of the curtain that cut off the most holy place, was the altar of incense. And inside that room, the holy place, only the Levites were allowed to preside. Those priests who had been consecrated as holy to the Lord, only they were allowed in there. And so the king overstepped his authority by entering the temple building itself. It's a clear overstep. And the high priest, Ahaziah, and 80 other priests freak out. They go in there and they say, you need to leave immediately, King Uzziah. And what does King Uzziah do? He rages. He gets angry at the priest. And the Bible says leprosy broke out on his forehead. Now, leprosy is a little bit different from leprosy today. It was an infectious, scaly skin disease that made a person ritually unclean. That person had to leave society, live outside the camp, and when other passerbyers came by, they had to say, unclean, unclean. It was a dreadful disease. Now, the king, because he has leprosy, had to leave the temple, had to leave his palace. They had to build another house for him, and he couldn't oversee the governmental affairs. That went to his son, Jotham, who now begins a co-reigning with his father as he is the acting head of government. So until his death, Uzziah was a leper. Even in his death, it says he wasn't buried in the cemetery for the kings. He was buried outside the royal cemetery, which, if you like archaeology, they have uncovered this stone that was part of a box that held King Uzziah's bones when they were transported, goes right alongside of this account that we have in Scripture. And yet, leprosy was not uncurable. If you remember back, there was another person who was struck with leprosy because of their arrogance, and that was Moses' sister Miriam. At one point, Miriam confronts Moses and says, why are you better than us? And the Lord strikes her with leprosy. But how did her story end? Her story ends is that she was only a leper for 7 days, and the Lord restored her and brought her back into the camp. So what do I want us to know about this consequence of Uzziah? I want us to take to heart this lesson, friends. We don't trifle with the holiness of God. We don't approach God's holiness as light or inconsequential. If we do, we do it to our own harm. If you remember Aaron's son, so Aaron was the high priest, his sons Nadab and Abihu, they offered unauthorized fire to the Lord. And it says God struck them down. Or if you remember when King David was transporting the Ark of the Covenant into the city, that as another guy whose name sounds funny, Uzzah, was walking, and the ox stumbled, and so he reached out his hand just to steady that ark. He didn't want that Ark of the Covenant falling into the dirt. God struck him dead. The holiness of God is a fearful thing, and we must worship God according to his rules and not just according to our own thoughts. Uzziah teaches us a lesson. Uzziah teaches us of our own uncleanliness in the presence of a holy God. But yet in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah the prophet got a vision. And he got a vision that of God's holiness, of his uncleanliness, right? but of God's atonement, of God's cleansing, of God's making him righteous. And his vision then comes through where God says, I'm going to send someone out to proclaim my holiness. Who's going to go for us? And Isaiah, who has been cleansed, said, here I am, send me. So that means that there's another option, friends. This is my third point. And that is that power does not have to corrupt. Power does not have to corrupt. I've always heard that saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yet it doesn't have to. Uzziah has an heir. He has a son, Jotham, who is also powerful, who also receives all this tribute, who also people speak well of him. He has a lot of power, and yet he doesn't overstep his bounds. The scriptures say he does not enter the temple. He was just as powerful as his father, and yet it says he walked steadily before the Lord his God. He continued to seek the Lord and to serve him from the position God had given to him. God put him in a position of power. That wasn't a bad thing. That was a good thing. And yet he needed to know he must always seek the Lord. So we have two options here. Uzziah, his success led to a swelled head, and he overstepped his bound. And yet his son Jotham showed what it meant to have power and remained humble and submissive to God. Well, you might say, well, what is King Uzziah and King Azariah, who lived like 800 years before the birth of Christ, what do their lives have to do with our lives today? Well, I want to say that we in the 21st century America, us as individuals, have an incredible amount of power. We do. We have an incredible amount of power, and that is not a bad thing. And yet it can sometimes lead to pride. Just an example of how much power we have, almost all of us carry around these cell phones that give us almost omnipotence or omnipresence. We can almost know omniscience, not omnipotence, that's all powerful. It doesn't make us all powerful, but it does allow us to almost know anything in the world. We have any question that pops in our head, if someone asks us anything, we can look it up in a jiffy, and we can know that. We can see what's happening on the other side of the world. We can see what's happening in Iran. We know this. We have all this power. That is power. And yet we can let that lead to our pride. Let that lead to thinking, well, then I'm all sufficient. Then I can do whatever I want. And we stop submitting to the true King, the King of Kings. But it doesn't have to. We can take another option. We cannot follow Uzziah in his pride. We can follow more Jotham in his continuing to seek the Lord each step of the way. We can even greater follow Jesus, who is the perfect example of humility and power together. Friends, we are unholy, and that does bar us from God's presence. We are like Uzziah, in our own state, who have leprosy, maybe not physically, but spiritually, we have uncleanness in us, and yet we have a gospel message that I want to remind us of, and that is that Jesus came, and what did he do when he came? He cleansed the lepers. He cleansed not just physical leprosy. Sometimes when he did a healing, Jesus would say, your sins are forgiven, showing that he was cleansing us from the inside out, and that is what Jesus did when he came to you and I. When he revealed himself to us, he took our sins away from us and cleansed us. So who's allowed in that holy place? I said only the consecrated priest. And I'm the priest here, right there. Here's my picture of the high priest. I'm the priest's forehead was a gold plate. And on that gold plate, it read, Kadosh La Elo Yahweh. It means holy to the Lord. Holy to the Lord. He was marked as someone who was holy, and he was allowed in the holy place. And once a year, the high priest could go into the most holy of places. But it was something that happened to him. He was marked. That contrasts with what happened to the forehead of King Uzziah. And Carol Kaminsky wrote in her commentary this. She said, the shining golden frontlet on the priest's forehead signified acceptance. The shining leprous breakout on the king's forehead signified rejection. And my message for us today is, friends, let us realize what Jesus has done to us. We who were rejected have now been brought close to our Savior because he has marked us as his own. He has put his blood on us and cleansed us and gotten rid of anything unclean in us and marked us as holy to the Lord. This is the miracle of atonement, that Jesus not only removes our sins, but he also crowns our heads, crowns us with glory and honor, and that we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit now lives inside of us. So friends, today we are coming to what is called Holy Communion. And I want to make sure that we don't come here flippantly, that we don't come here casually. We come here recognizing the Holy God is offering himself to us this morning, that he is offering his body and his blood broken and poured out for us. And this is a holy moment where we sinners come into the presence of a holy God. And yet, let me pause there. One thing that means is we don't come here in pride, okay? We do not approach this table because of our own righteousness, because of our own standing in society, because we think we're all that. We come here on our knees like the choir saying, humbly, recognizing we come only because we've been cleansed, only because Jesus has forgiven us. We come here recognizing that we come only in the power of the Holy Spirit, that his Spirit lives within us. That gives us freedom. Freedom that we can confess our sins. If Uzziah had done that, he could have been cleansed. But friends, we have our own failures. We have our own acts of pride. We have our own places where we grasp for what is not ours. And we confess that. We confess that to the Lord and say, take this from me. Take this sin from me. And he is right, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us because of Jesus and what he has done. So this meal is a meal, and it's for those who truly believe in Jesus Christ. This is not for those who are outside the family of faith. So we always guard the table that way. But I do invite you to come receive the gifts of God for the people of God, trusting in Jesus Christ, looking to him for his mercy. If you're not prepared to come, just stay in your pew. That's all right. The scriptures do admonish us to examine ourselves before we eat and drink of the Lord's Supper. For those who eat and drink without recognizing the body and the blood of the Lord bring judgment on themselves. If you do desire to come and partake, but just simply walking forward is a struggle for you, we will have an elder bringing around the elements to you. I think Carol Huber is going to do that for us today. But as we come, we are acknowledging that our trust is not in ourselves, that our salvation is not in ourselves. It is only in Jesus Christ. Now, if you do have something that the Lord is convicting you of, or a desire to meet with some elders from the church, we will have two elders. It's going to be Reverend Netting and Judy Bloor. They're going to come receive the elements first and then go to a back room. Friends, they're going to be there during the whole communion, hopefully into a little bit of that hymn to follow. If you want to just pray with someone, talk to someone, they're there. I encourage you to partake of that opportunity for you. But friends, this isn't just about individuals coming to confess their sins. We also do that on a corporate level as a body. So I'm going to use these verses to encourage us to come to a time of prayer of confession. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Trusting in God's faithfulness and his compassion, let us confess our sin before God and before one another. We do have a prayer of confession here that I'll put up and encourage us to speak these words together out loud. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, the whole earth is full of your glory. When we encounter your majesty, we realize how far we have fallen short. Woe to us, for we are lost, We confess that we are a people of unclean lips, and we dwell in a culture of unclean lips. We have used our words for gossip, pride, and falsehood rather than praise. We have harbored unclean hearts, harboring idols of comfort, selfishness, and security above you. Lord, have mercy on us. Do not cast us out, but come to us. We ask that you touch our lips and purify our hearts with the fire of your Spirit. Just as you cleansed Isaiah, take away our guilt and blot out our sins, that we might fit to stand in your presence. Forgive us, not because of our righteousness, but for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our ultimate atonement. And friends, let's just have a time of quiet confession to the Lord, knowing he hears us.